Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 55 of the Geocaching Podcast, caching to and from events. I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. We do this show live, and it is live. Call in 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. We do this show every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our show notes can be found at geocachingpodcast.info, and you can call into our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS. I want to apologize tonight. I am not live, and I want to do a big, huge shout-out. Well, we are live, but I'm not on the show. I want to do a big, huge shout-out to Daryl W. Four and Monty Ryder for covering for me. My wife is sick tonight, and so they are actually doing the show. This is the first time for them hosting by themselves, so take it easy on them. Don't give them too much trouble, and we just hope that you have a good show tonight. So with that, let's get on with the show.
Hey, Andy, thanks a lot. Yeah, he's unfortunately taking care of his wife. He is alive. He's just not live on the show tonight. And I am joined by Montu Ryder, and he and I will do our best to make Andy proud tonight. Welcome to the show, Montu.
Yeah, that we will tonight, Daryl. Now, as far as what has been up with me, not much. We got two more caches, a little bit closer to that 250 milestone that the wife and I are heading for. Unfortunately, no FTFs, even though they were recently published. Things are also starting to get a little warm up, warm down here, getting closer to those triple-digit temps, so we'll be doing a little less trail caching and more of the quick grabs if we can find them. So what's been happening with you?
Oh, well, I actually just got back from an FTF hunt just before the show, which was a lot of fun. It's actually placed out in front of an REI over here by one of the workers at the REI who just started caching about 2 months ago. Then he and I went off to grab another cache afterwards, so my FTF hunt that should have been about a half-hour round trip ended up being closer to 2.5 hours.
Hey, but that's when they're at their funnest.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you got to love the FTF parties, and we met up with someone else there. We actually shared the FTF with them. Then another one of our caching buddies showed up, and got the second to find on it while we were all standing around chatting. But we did hit a couple of events in Amherstburg, Ontario on Sunday, and that was a blast. One of them was a flash mob, another a meet and greet. They had, I want to say, 9 caches that they had published just for the event, and about 5 caches that we hadn't hit in town there because, well, we've never been through Amherstburg, Ontario. But we met up with Jerbear of the Ontario Geocaching Podcast, and hit all of those caches in the, you know, like 3.5 hours between the two events.
Sounds good.
It was a lot of fun. And one of the best flash mob events I've hit so far. Very well organized. A little bit smaller group, and I think that might have been part of the key to it having gone so well, is that we had fewer people than they expected, and they had too many people really to handle that small a group. So we were getting done with things before we were scheduled to have gotten done with them. Always a nice thing when you're hosting an event.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, I hear you've been playing with those new Trimbles. How are they doing?
Yeah. Andy and I both have a set of the Blackberries from Trimble to run the geocaching navigator for Blackberry. And the FTF that I did tonight, I actually found using that unit. Very nice. It does have some issues, and if you want to head over to Podcacher, you can hear my first thoughts on that along with their experience. Sunny and Sandy got one of these reviewer units as well to play with, and they did a nice little review on it, and then I did my brief review, so you can get some thoughts there. But Andy and I are going to do a show on that coming up in about 3 or 4 weeks, I think it is. It's April 28th, I think, that we're going to do a full show on that. But let's hear a promo from Podcacher for those of you who aren't familiar with the show.
everyone. This is Sunny.
And Sandy.
From sunny San Diego, California.
And we are the hosts of the Podcatcher Podcast.
Podcatcher is a free weekly audio show all about geocaching.
We cover caching news,
tips and tricks, and tools of the trade.
We also have interviews, fun contests, and caching stories from around the world.
We chat about caching goodness.
And just have a whole lot of fun.
Come and join the international geocaching community at podcatcher.com.
Stay safe and
keep on caching.
And then we also had a voicemail comment called in over the course of this last week about last week's show.
Hey, this is Ducks Unlimited from Memphis. Sorry I couldn't make it to your show tonight, April 1st. Came home from work and found out that there was a new cache in my area. So I go print it off, get my GPS, steal my wife's car, and I race down the road and find it. It took about 15 minutes to do it. Ended up on the wrong side of a creek, but hey, we do what we do. And it was very first to find for me. So I look forward to hearing the podcast that I missed and future podcast. All right, thank you again. This is Ducks Unlimited. The GC number was 1AFXK. Thank you.
We're sorry you weren't able to join us last Tuesday, Ducks Unlimited, but congratulations on that first to find. Now, my only question is, did the wife catch you on stealing that car?
Well, while we get into our main topic for tonight, which is caching to and from events, and Montu, I know you've done a lot of this as well.
Yes, with the events that we've gone to, we've been doing it there, and also on some of our camping trips abroad that we've taken, doing the caching to and from. Depending upon whether the event is a morning event, though, we'll this is the fun part of live.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what will determine whether or not we do it caching towards the event or after the event's over. If it's a morning event, we won't do a cache on the way there because we're trying to get there on time. But we usually will do a caching from the event.
Yeah, you know, it makes it a lot more fun, and you know, especially with gas prices being as they are now, you know, you just got to maximize that dollar per cache value there. So yeah, it really does help to go caching to and from, and it makes it a lot more fun, a lot easier to get to and from the events. But I really tend to cache to and from events more like I cache most of my routes, which is I'll run the route file as a PQ, and then I'll do a set of pocket queries, or usually just one pocket query actually, for the event itself. Limit the finds sometimes, or the hits, to less than like three caches. Sometimes I'll filter out the unknown caches, you know, so that I get something that's a little bit quicker and easier. And I'll take those two pocket queries, use that, and just as we're caching to the event or from the event, on the fly as we're in the car, I'll take a look at those individual caches and see if it's something that we want to do. And this is something that we kind of picked up from our power caching runs, where you know, one person is driving, one person is navigating. So you can get by doing that, whereas if you're the only person in the car, you really can't do that so much. Montu, how are you doing those routes?
Oh, I normally have the DeLorme software running on my laptop, so I'm able to see it that way as we're driving along. Also, of course, loaded on the GPS. Normally what I'll try and do, though, because I don't like crossing back and forth across some of these highways, and some of it is also along interstates, too, where you don't always have that opportunity to flip over, I will try and actually separate mine out into three files that I can then dump in from GSAC as the time progresses. One, of course, caches that are on the way there, and then, of course, caches that are on the way back, and then, of course, as you do, the caches that are there at the event. Sometimes even for the events, what I'll try and do is I'll actually go in a couple weeks before and try and clear out a lot of the existing caches. That way I can more concentrate on the caches that are going to be published the day of, because here in my area, they're big on releasing a whole slew of caches on the day of the event. Usually it's anywhere from 8 to 12 new caches the day of the event that, you know, gives you a very good opportunity first to finds.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the best parts of going to an event is if you're one of those first to find hunters. If they don't raffle them off, then it's that big race to get the first to finds on each of those caches. And it's kind of a strategy of figuring out which ones to go for to get the first to find. Do you have a strategy that you use for those?
Well, it all depends on who's at the event. Usually everybody teams up. I very rarely see anybody that goes out alone. I have seen, though, there's a pair of cashers that have come to attend my events, which there, of course, I can't go out on the first find because I hit them. But they like to get there very early. They'll normally show up as we're actually setting up the event. Their names are Clearwater Rob and Ray I Am, and they love getting that early morning start on things, partially because they know that some of my caches are 13 miles round trip to get to by bike or foot. And so that's why they like to go after them quick.
Yeah, that could take a lot of time out of your event day.
Yeah. Well, Starkey Park's a big place.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it.
And that bike trail is 6.5 miles one way.
Ooh.
And we've got them about the wife and I have got them about every quarter of a mile out that trail.
Yeah. Now, also to the folks who might be thinking about hosting an event and publishing these caches for the event, write your reviewer, because most of the time the reviewers are happy to hold those caches from publishing until a specific date and time. So if you're having your event at like noon on Friday, you can tell them, don't publish these caches until after, you know, 4 p.m. on Friday, so that all of the people attending the event have a chance to find those caches before everyone else goes out looking for them.
Right. We've always just put a reviewer note. You know, it's part of the reviewer note that we leave, that please do not publish this cache until exactly as you said, you know. Sometimes we'll put it for the next day, all depending upon when the event is. That's what one of the events down in Pinellas did, was they had it released. The event was a Sunday, and they told the reviewer not to publish it until Monday morning. I go ahead and have the reviewer publish mine that night, so that way they're out for people to start getting logged. But it definitely makes it easier. You know, it gives the attendees something that they can get, they've got a better chance of getting than what they would get on the normal. You know, true, yes, you've got everybody else that's there attending that's going to be going after it, but you never know. You all are on an equal footing. You get the coordinates when I hand you that paper, and then it's all fun and games watching everybody tear out of the meeting place going after those caches.
Yeah, well, it's a great opportunity, too, because you really get an opportunity to team up with caches that you might not have cached with before and go out and find all these caches with your little community of cachers that you haven't had that chance with. So, I really, really love doing those caches, even if it's not for first to find. You know, even if they raffle off the first to finds and then send everyone out like 20 minutes later, that's still a lot of fun, because I just love caching with groups, and especially when you get, you know, these multi-car groups going out to find the caches.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely find it more enjoyable when I am with a group. You know, yes, I love it when I'm with just the family, but it also is great when we've got a few other caches that are with us. The extra set of eyes definitely helps sometimes. But it's just an all-around fun experience. Watching some of them, you know, yeah, okay, I see it, but nobody else in the party sees it, and everybody else is looking everywhere for it, and you're just sitting back, rocking on your heels, waiting for everybody else to find it. It's just an all-around fun experience, or if maybe you're the one who can't find it, and everybody else has found it. It's just great fun to be out there with all the other cachers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, just anytime you go caching with a group, I love it. And, you know, that's we go to and from events a lot of the time, too, is we'll connect up with someone in the area and carpool out there. We have Team Legend 4 that we typically do our caching with when we go to the events. You know, you pile in one car, and, it, you know, there's your second set of drivers and navigator kind of thing. So, you know, makes it really easy going to and from those events. And most of the time now, rather than carrying the laptop with me, I just actually go on my 60 CSX, and you can do it with just about any of the units, actually. You just sit there and scroll through the map as you're driving along to try to figure out which caches look good and look them up on the WAP interface or through the CacheMate on your PDA or whatever. It makes it really easy and gives you something to do in the time when you're just sitting in the car waiting for the next cache anyway.
Yeah, we've done that a few times, but usually I'm the one who everybody wants to handle the GPS, so it gets a little bit fun trying to, okay, we're at a stoplight, let's see what the next one is coming up, but we manage.
Yeah. Now, you know, mentioning the group caching, we actually talked a lot about the group caching back on episode 45, so if anyone wants to go back and check that out in the archives, you can head over to geocachingpodcast.info. And it's episode 45 from January 31st. And then getting back to caching to and from events, you were saying that you cache mostly from events because most of the events are mornings. How much time do you really find that you have, though, for caching on that drive?
Usually we got a pretty good piece. It all depends upon how tired we are, which is another thing I like about caching from the event, because that's one thing. I don't like getting tired at the event if I can help it. So by not caching there, it's, you know, I'm relaxing. I'm resting the whole drive there. Yes, I'm driving, but at least I'm not out trying to find these caches. That way, once the caching is over at the event, we pile in the car. If we feel like it, we'll hit some on the way home. If we don't, you know, no big deal, but at least we got everything at the event, which also works to an advantage. You know, true, it also works as a disadvantage because then that means one of these days I'm going to have to come back down here to get those caches along that route. But
you have more caches to find later then.
Exactly. And I had more fun with my friends at the event.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I love just hanging out at the event and sitting around chit-chatting. Yeah, speaking of which, at the First to Find party we had tonight, there was quite a bit of chatting after the First to Find, and we went out and found that second cache. I think we probably stood around for about 2 hours of that time just chit-chatting. Now, Candy says she actually likes to research caches around the event, where the event will be, so that she can be more picky and decide what she wants to go after. And then Blue Depth, you're on the phone, so I'm going to unmute you, and you can just tell us yourself.
Yeah, ultimately, I spend most of my time rushing to the cache, rushing to the event cache, mostly because my GPS plots the course as the crow flies, not as the cacher drives.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about having a pair of GPSs, one for navigation, like we use a Nuvi, or TL4 actually uses a Nuvi or a Street Pilot. And, you know, you can actually, in most of these GPSs, load in some routes and reference that. But I don't bother doing that. I'll just do the caches along a route, and the caches kind of tell me where I'm going to go from the route file that I had uploaded to GroundSpeak.
Yeah, during lulls, in the cache events, if there's especially around 3 o'clock when everyone's pretty much petered out and there's no more energy left because they're all doing siesta time, we'll break from the group and end up going out and doing caching in town if there's a town nearby. Then, of course, after the event is over, caching until sundown because, you know, I'm not as brave as some for night caching.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some of those night caches that are specifically night caches, and I'm really looking forward to doing one because I haven't done any.
Yeah, I haven't done any of the night caches myself. We've got a couple here in the area that I haven't gotten up the time to go get them. They're about 20 miles out from the house. You know, they're right along my way to and from work, but, you know, it's dark when I'm going to work, but then I've got to get to work on time. Then normally coming home from work, I'm tired, I'm beat, and it's still daylight. So the night caching doesn't exactly work for me there.
Yeah, and you don't really want to go night caching without someone else around.
Yeah, I agree on that one.
I mean, I'll
cache. Definitely like the safety net.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'll cache alone during the day, but at night, and I've only done a handful of times, it's always best to do it with at least three people.
Yeah, yeah, you know, make sure a couple of those people have phones or some way to contact someone if something does happen.
You never tell when your battery is going to run out on your GPSR, your phone, your flashlight, your whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, with that, why don't we wrap up today's show and remind everyone that they can check out the website at geocachingpodcast.info. And we'll be back next week at the same time, and we'll talk to you then.